Parshat Vayelech, which is sometimes connected with Parshat Nitzavim, read at the time of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, very short parsha, which is really the prelude to Hazinu, to the Shira, it has within it one mitzvah, which is a very famous mitzvah, which deserves our attention today, and that's the mitzvah of Hakel. The Chumash tells us, Moshe has commanded them, saying, at the end of 7 years, at the time of the sabbatical year, during the Sukkot festival, when all Israel comes to appear before Hashem your God, in the place that He will choose, you shall read this Torah before all Israel in their ears. Gather together the people, the men, the women, and small children, your strangers and your cities, so that they will hear, and so that they will learn, and they shall fear Hashem your God, and be careful to perform all the words of the Torah. And the children who do not know, they shall hear, and they shall learn to fear Hashem your God, all the days that you live on the land to which you are crossing the Jordan to possess it. And as we know, this mitzvah of Hakel, source 1b, was once every 7 years on the first day of Chol HaMoed, which is the intermediate days of Sukkot, that followed the sabbatical year. The entire people came. The king read certain selections from the Chumash and Dvarim to the entire people. Number of questions we need to ask, a lot of questions, but number that we're going to focus in on. One, if it is indeed after the 7 years, we've already completed a Shemitah cycle, we're now, so to speak, in the 8th year. Sukkot is already after Rosh Hashanah. So why does the Chumash link it with after, at the end of 7 years, at the time of the sabbatical year? It should just say, on the 8th year. Somehow Hakel seems to be linked with at the conclusion of the Shemitah, when I've just finished Shemitah, then we have the mitzvah of Hakel. Somehow Hakel is connected with Shemitah, and we need to understand why. Further, we need to understand, and this is a question that Rav Reis asked in Rosh Sirim, that if the mitzvah of Hakel is very much about, as we'll speak about in Mirtz Hashem, a mini Mama Har Sinai, men, women, children are there, so would it not make more sense to have this on Shavuos? Shavuos is the time of Mama Har Sinai. Would this not be amazing that once every 7 years, during the year of Shemitah, or whenever you want, you have the king speaking to the people, almost like recreating Mamet Har Sinai, so do it on the holiday which represents Mamet Har Sinai, the holiday of Shavuos. Why specifically is Hakel done on the holiday of Sukkot? That's our second question. Our third question, which is the question that Chazal asked, Ma ra'a katuv la'arov l'tzavot, source 2, al hava'at ha'taf, v'limyato ben elu mitzuvim l'taseif im kol Yisrael b'yom Hakel. The Chumash twice emphasized that the children also have to come and listen. You have this, the men, the women, and the small children. And you have this again in Pasuk Yud Gimel, and their children who do not know. And there's a argument or discussion among the rabbis, well, how old are these children? And it would seem that we're talking about infants here. We're talking about children who are not yet have the ability to understand what is going on. You have an obligation to bring them. And as a Sfarim note, this is not just because there were no babysitters in the left in your community that everyone was there. No. The fact that the Chumash emphasizes, and the children, they shall hear and they shall learn to fear Hashem, there is something about bringing the children that's so significant, and we need to ask ourselves, what's going on here? The children perhaps don't even understand. They don't even understand what's going on. Maybe at a certain age, the king, and they know what a king is, but an infant, a year old, they just see a bunch of people. So Rashi, noting this, explains, it gives a reward to those who bring them. That's the reason why we're schlepping the kids, to give a reward. Have them do something else and get a reward. Just for that, we bring the children just to get a reward. There must be something deeper here. And that's what we're going to try to understand, my friends, and we will see in Mirtz Hashem that really the two levels that we'll focus in on level one, of why is Hakel connected to Shemitah, the two deeper understandings that we will glean are very much going to connect with the two major reasons why we bring the children, and we will see it in a complete structure. Before we get to the two classic levels, let's just mention what is well known, just to be able to make sure that we're on the same page. Rav Munk brings down in Source 4, Rabbeinu Bachaye, that the seven-year Shemitah cycle alludes to the fact that the world will last for 7 years, and the seventh millennium will introduce a new period. Accordingly, the Torah is read publicly at the start of the eighth year, at the completion of the Shemitah cycle, to signify that Hashem looks into the Torah in order to build a new world. And indeed, that is really what is going on here. The reading of the Torah, the end of the Shemitah, is as if we are starting a new world order, a new cycle. With this, we can appreciate, again, as just a background and introduction, what Rav Reich speaks about, that we dafka have it after the Shemitah, after we've taken a year off, as a pticha l'machazor chadash, that now that the Jewish people are going to, now Sukkot is about to be over, people are going to return to their land, and they're going to begin to work again. It's a new world order, so to speak. Now that people are going to come back to the ground that they're going to work, we have to be able, lashrish, we have to be able to instill in the people the emunah, the understanding, that as much as they are working, and as much as they are involved in kochi v'otzim yati, look how strong I am, we have to realize in 7, v'lahazkir, ki avadut ha-yechida ha-mukeret ba'olamo shel ha-yehudi. You want to know what our major focus is in life? You want to know what our major work is in life? Yes, you have to work the field. Yes, you have to bring a parnasa. You have to bring in sustenance to the family. No one's denying that. Hi ha'avdut la'don kol ha'aretz. Shepei rusha ha'masi hit kashrut la'torah. But do not forget, and this is why the reminder is here right now. You've taken off a year. Now that you're about to enter into this new world order of working again, you may perhaps forget what your focus is. You may lose that focus. And therefore, at the beginning, right before you're going to enter into this new experience of working again, after the Shemitah has been completed, recognize your focus in life has to be the world of Torah. And that, he continues in 7, explains so beautifully the idea of why Dafka and Sukkis, we have this idea of Hakel. Calling a nashal sukani paresha idea mefarshim, kem sa'i leval yivtach adam bol shro uleval ya'oz bo'otzim yado. What we know, my friends, is the whole idea of Sukkis. The whole idea of Sukkis is recognizing that we can't rely on the strength of our hands. We live in huts. We live in fragile places to reinforce within us that our whole life is about relying on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's really what the mitzvah of Hakel is about. It's to remind Klal Yisrael that when we're involved about, we're about to be once again involved in this world of work, keep in mind the focus is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And in that way, Rav David Hofstadter and Drash Dovi points out that you really have emotionally the same theme in Sukkis and Hakel linked together. And that is the uniqueness of the joy of Sukkis and the asterisk tonight was that it not expressed with mere levity, nor is it simply a happy occasion. It was the pinnacle of joy combined with love in Hashem and fear of Hashem. Who were the ones that danced at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? They were the great scholars, the great rabbis. There's Gilul Bir Ada. The whole idea of Sukkis was the simultaneous coexistence of what seems to be contradictory emotions, joy and love. And that, my friends, is the whole idea. The same mixture of fear and joy was present when the mitzvah of Hakel was performed. Everyone stood together listening to king reading the Torah. The very presence of the king inspired fear and awe. And yet, the experience of having the entire Jewish people together in the Beis HaMikdash, unity, together, was tremendous experience of love as well. So what you really have here is this emotion found at Hakel is really the same emotion on Sukkot of Gilu Birata, and this is what the Chumash is trying to underscore by linking the two together. Just one final idea on this before moving into our first level. The very beautiful insight of Rav Weinberger in Shemen HaTov. He says, and this is something to think about practically, The Shir Shel Yom, we have a song of the day that we sing every day. That were this was the song the Kibbutz Tehillim the Levim sang in the Beit Hamikdash. So the Shir Shel Yom for Sunday, and it's the one not by accident that we say right after Shmona Esrei at Maariv on Rosh Hashanah, and really for the same reason, is the idea of La Hashem Haaretz Umloah. To Hashem is the world and everything that it encompasses. What is this about? The whole idea is that the Lachar Shvita Shel Shabbat Matchil B'Yom Rishon Sheish Yemei Ha'Maisa V'Avodas Adam. Every week after a Shabbos where we've rested, Sunday comes and we enter in, right? Remember that song in school, Yom Rishon Lavoda, Yom Sheni Lavoda? We enter in to a work week. In Eretz Yisrael, we appreciate this more than in America, but we get the picture. In Kain Sharuaz Tzrichim Lavim Mikodem De Lashem Haaretz Umloah. Before you can walk into a work week, you have to have your priorities in order. And know De Lashem Haaretz Umloah. V'chol Avodat Hadam Tuliya Bo Yitbarach. All of our success during the week is going to be dependent on our relationship with Hashem. Because everything belongs to Hashem. D'zeh Yisod HaKol. He is the one in charge of everything. And now after the Shemata Shemitah, just when the Shemitah is over, and now when we are restarting our entry into the work world, we have to be able to remember this idea. L'Hashem Ha'aretz Umloah, everything belongs to Hashem. Hence, the mitzvah of Hakel. And indeed, on Rosh Hashanah as well, as we begin a new year, we have to remember this as well. As much as we want from Hashem, all these wonderful brachot, banai, chayim, ezona, all these wonderful things, we have to realize that unless we put a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the picture, in our daily lives, in recognition that all that we have is a blessing from above, then we're not going to be worthy receptacles to receive the blessing of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That, my friends, is mamash the yesod of what Shemitah and Hakel, the end of Shemitah and Hakel, is about. I'd like to look at this, however, from a non-classic perspective. What we just mentioned was a classic one. And I'd like to look at it on two levels, and I think both of them are very indicative for our lives. Idea number one, Letitcha Elyon brings in source number 11 in the asterisk, based on the Gaon Rabbi Shammai Tzahan, the Rosh Yeshiva of Netzach Yisrael, in England. And he says the following, Abdurabba, Kidei Shiyuchal Haroshem Shomama Zeh Tzarich Harbe Hachana. Would it not have made more sense, he says, to start this before the Shat Shemitah? You know, you're about to enter into a year where you're going to be learning Torah all year. Is this not like a great, you know, kickoff? You know, like we have kickoff events for different fundraisers. We're going to have a kickoff event for Shemitah. Okay, guys, we're all going to sit and learn Torah together, listening to the Melech, and now go into your Beis Medrash and leave your fields and work. Why is it that we don't have this as a kickoff? We have this at the end of the year. And he says, and here it's the key, and this is the Yisod and development of Hashem. V'rak Ayyidei, double underline in 11, Hachana Shel Shana Shlema Shel Shmita. It's only about having an entire year of preparation. Shadam Eino Oved Al Sadehu, an entire year where you haven't worked the field. V'zmano Mufne Yoter L'Limud Torah L'Tchazek B'Kiyum HaMitzvot. And you spent an entire year engrossed in learning. You spent an entire year strengthening your mitzvos and your dveikos in Hashem, which is the goal of the Shnat Hashem. It's not to sit back, you know, have a martini on the beach, God forbid. It's really to work on your connection to Hashem. As acharei shana kazot, yemuchshar lekabel taroshem shel mitzvot hakel. Do you understand that mitzvot hakel was supposed to make a tremendous impression on you? You just can't walk into Hakel. You just can't roll out of bed and say, okay, I'm ready for Hakel. You needed an entire year preparation so that when the king stands up there and he starts telling you about, make sure you keep the mitzvot and make sure you're connected to Hashem, you've prepared yourself for such an occasion. You're allowing that to become a parcel for your life. Lomdim anu mizeh lekach mufla. We learn from here a tremendous lesson for our lives. Umdim anu lifnei Rosh Hashanah. Practically, we're standing mamish days before Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yomim Noraim. Yom Hadim Mitkarei v'chol achar rotzeh lizkot bedin v'likatei v'chol tov. And everyone wants to be written in the good book. L'yom mushma mekdushas hayom. And we all want to be influenced from the power and the kedusha, the holiness of the day. L'chazek et atzmo b'kabalat o'mochut shamayim, to have a stronger connection to the yoke of heaven on us. Aval hadvarim lo nasim ma'alehem. It doesn't happen automatically, my friends. You know, some of us may think, you know, I can sleep through Elul. It's not such a big deal. Mumble a David Hashem Ori. That can happen pretty fast. I know it by heart after a while. Okay, maybe listen to the show for once in a while. And then, you know, I'll be baking my honey cakes, and I'll be making sure to get all the Shechianu fruits, and I'm really, really busy. And then I can walk into Rosh Hashanah. My friends, it's not going to happen that way. In order to stand on the Yom Hadin, you have to be able to be spiritually prepared. Elul isn't a joke. V'zeh l'mdimi parsha zu, shekedei l'yom mushpa l'kabel rosha min hayom sarich harbeh hachana. You know, so often we go through Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and we say, you know, I can't believe that's all over. Gosh, it happened so fast. Like, where was I? You know where you were? You were in a land of non-preparation. And because you didn't prepare, you walked away with very little. You know, it's very much like, my friends, the mashal that they often give is of a king invites you into a palace and he says, take whatever, you know, beautiful gems and stones that you want, and you have 24 hours to do it. So you're going to bring with you as many big, you know, barrels as you can. You're not going to come in with a couple of, you know, bags from Pathmark and think that that's going to fill up. You know, you got to prepare. And it may mean going out and, you know, with expense and getting as much as you need. But if you really want to gain from the time, this is what you have to do. Rabosa, I'd like to take this idea because it's so fundamental in Yiddishkeit one step further. And this is mamish, a yesod for life and a key to be successful in allowing the avoda of the Yamim Noraim to affect us even beyond Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Sources 12 through 16 come from the Sefer Haras Derech, which is written by Rav Uri Weissblum, who's the Mashkiach of Nachlas Levim by Haifa, where he notes the following. This is a piece that he speaks about the Indian of Shavuos, an Israelitim Sefer. And he notes the following. He says, we say in the Haggadah, in the asterisks in 12, Ilu kervanu fnei har Sinai. It's almost hard to say without singing, but okay, we'll control ourselves. Velo natan lanu et haTorah, then, okay, we can all sing together. Dayena. So what's pshat here? Had Hashem brought us to Mount Har Sinai and he didn't give us the Torah, that would have been enough. Hello. My friends, are we understanding this? The whole point of coming to Mount Har Sinai was to get the Torah. What would have been the point to come to Mount Har Sinai without the Torah? I mean, it's missing. So listen to what he expressed. We know, Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Shabbos, Yisrael she'amdu al Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael who stood on Har Sinai. Not Klal Yisrael who got the Torah, but who stood on Har Sinai, Paskal Zumasa, which means that that negative force, that foul smell is a literal translation, that stain of the sin that entered into Chava from the Nachash, from the serpent, as a result of the original sin, so to speak, left them when they came to Mamet Har Sinai. They were reached the level of the angels. So there we see that there is something great about just standing there. And again, the question begs itself. They didn't get the Torah yet. What was it about standing in Mamet Har Sinai that they were able to reach this level in Kain Zachu? L'madregas Adam Rishon Kodem Achayit. They reached the level of Adam Rishon. They weren't going to die before the sin. B'lil Kabel Torah, without the Kabbalah Satorah. The Torah was, receiving the Torah was Mitzuva Va'osa, made us commanded to do. But there was some level before him. What's Pshat? So he says, Pshat is, to look at Klal Yisrael in the Chumash before we got the Torah. What do we know about them? First thing we know about them is that they left Rephidim and they came to Midbar Sinai. And Rashi tells us, just like they left Rephidim in a state, Rephidim was a place of Amalek, of Tshuva, they reached Midbar Sinai in a place of Tshuva. Their mindset was connection to Hashem as they traveled and encamped in Mamet Har Sinai. Two, right at the end of 12, when they got to Har Sinai, the Chumash tells us, Vayichan Shan Yisrael Neged Ahar, they encamped singular by the mountain, and Chazal tells us, we almost think it's part of the text, B'lei V'chad K'ishachad, one heart, one person, no disunity. They came with Achdos. And they were able to say, as one, Nase v'nishma, we're ready to accept. What is the common denominator between tshuva, achdos, nase v'nishma? Ma'u mishutaf in 13, b'chol ha'inyanim ha'ela, the answer is, and here's the key word, hakol mekupal v'tamun b'mila achat. It's all, my friends, wrapped up in one word. Probably one of the most important words in the Hebrew lexicon, in one's Avodas Hashem, get to know it well. Hachana, preparation. Hachana inyan kol kach adir, shebehachana levan tmuna kol ha'achris. When you have the correct preparation, then everything else seems to fall into place. When Klal Yisrael had prepared themselves, when they were a kli kibul, when they had made themselves a receptacle, where they were in a state of tshuva, they were in a state of unity, they were in a state ready to accept whatever Hashem said, that state of being, that experience of making themselves a kli kibul, a receptacle to receive, that hachana, that preparation was enough to bring them back to Adam Rishon Kodem, the sin. Hachana atzma, meromemet oto, romemut atzma, brings us to such a high level. You know, the example comes to my mind, and at Chatai, I don't know if I should say that, I used to be very into baseball as a kid. Big, avid baseball fan. Played softball, we're not going into that. The wind-up pitch of a pitcher, lahavdil alef alfei hevdalos, is exactly what we're talking about. You know, why does the pitcher wind up? Why don't they just throw the ball? There's something about the wind-up that affects the power of the pitch, the type of pitch. This is what we have to understand. Our hachana, our preparation, is so important. Now let's take this one step deeper, much further, my friends. The Aros Derech notes in 14, in our Avodas Hamidos, Moshe Chaim Lutzato explains, he says, how do you reach the level of Tara, of purity, one of the highest levels? He says, Omina ma'asim ha-medruchim et adam livo lidei midazu, he has mana l'divrei havodav ha-mitzvot. It's a preparation to reach this level. V'hainu, which means, here goes, shelo yikanes b'kiyum ha-mitzvah v'peta pitaom. You want to know how to reach high levels in your avodas Hashem? Don't enter into it suddenly. She'ein dato adayim yushevet alav, when your mind isn't focusing. V'yicholah litbonein b'mashu osen, you don't even know what you're doing. Ela yazmin atzmo ladavar, prepare yourself beforehand. V'yachin libo b'matun ad shikanes b'tboninu, and be in a state of contemplation, a state of slow, before that you understand what you're doing. Now here is the key line, double underline. V'az yitbonein, and my friends, if we could inculcate this in our lives, money back guarantee, we're a changed person. Before you do anything, ask yourself two questions. Mahu halach lasot? What are you about to do? V'lifnei mihu halach lasot? And in front of whom are you about to do it? You're about to take a cup of water, you're blah, 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 you don't even know what you're saying, and you take a drink, stop. What am I about to do? I'm about to take a drink of water. In front of whom am I about to say a bracha? In front of Hashem. Wow, this isn't just a bracha. This is, as we've spoken about many times, Shehakol Nieh B'Dvaro. This is the Yesod of Amunah. My whole Amunah is based on Shehakol Nieh B'Dvaro. Everything comes into being from Hashem's word. It transforms every experience into a spiritual experience. And he goes on to say, when I'm able to think then I'm able to bring my heart into this. I'm able to bring the emotional experience into this. Why am I doing this? What should I be thinking about when I do this? It's able to stop and to slow down. You know, this has really nothing to do with anything, but we'll share anyway. Israel is known for not having stop signs or traffic lights. They have traffic circles. Apparently, I've been told that traffic circles saves more lives than traffic lights and stop signs. And the reason is very simple. Traffic lights and stop signs, so many people break to a barely break, and then they just whiz right through it. Right? No one's around. 11 o'clock at night, whatever it is. A traffic circle makes you slow down. It makes you yield. You have to slow down if you've never been through a traffic circle. But my friends, you're in for an experience. You have to slow down. You have to break. That's what life is about. Life is about slowing down. Our job living in Israel is to recognize that traffic circles aren't there just for our safety, but it's there as a spiritual reminder to us. Whoa! Slow down in life. Think. If you don't have traffic circles, you can use the stop sign for the same idea. 15. Im naseh cheshbon ha-nefesh, if we really look into ourselves, no chach ladav, we'll be able to see. She'achad ha-sibot ha-kariot she'enenu zochim lidromein mitfila. How is it possible that I'm davening so much, particularly this time of year of Elul, and I'm really trying to focus in on my davening, and my aseiras ha-mitzvos, and my chesed, and I'm putting in more spiritual energy this month, and I'm learning more musa. How come we're not growing from them? How come I'm not changed from them? Like I would expect, like there should be a major transformation. And he answers very succinctly. Here's the bold word in 15. Noflim letocham. We fall into our mitzvos. Why do we not feel the godless of Shabbos? Oh my gosh, we have 2 minutes to left. Everyone hurry up, everyone out of the shower. Okay, we have to light. I fall into Shabbos. You ever fall into Mincha? Oh my, it's Shkia. If I don't light right, if I don't daven right now. We fall. We don't think. Ota Shabbat. Ota Tzvila. Ota Mitzvah. It's the same Shabbos. It's the same davening. It's the same Mitzvah. Ota Machazit HaShaa Shalimud HaMitzar. Im HaChana Lifneim Ubali HaChana. You can't compare the two worlds. And you know what the difference is, my friends? Seconds. Stop. What am I doing? In front of who am I doing this? It's a difference between two worlds. And then I won't ask myself, did I say bracha? Gee, did I bench? How come I don't know? Because I'm not focused. I just fell into the experience. Rabosai, Ech efshar lidromein motam mitzvot tfurot sh'anu mekaymim midei yom b'yomo kishenoflim l'tocham and bli lidvonein marom dim laso. Is it any wonder why we're not growing spiritually and we've been doing the same thing year after year? You would think we'd be on a higher level. The problem isn't spirituality. The problem isn't mitzvos. The problem is us. And that's why I spent so much time on this, because this is mamish. And this Rav Pinkus mentions at the end of his essay on Sukkos. He says, you want to take the Kabbalahs of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and make them part of your life? Then at least the Kabbalah, make sure it's something you have hachana beforehand. You're taking on an Asher Yatzar standing, so stop and say to yourself, what am I about to do? In front of whom am I going to do it? At least the thing that you've taken on as a Kabbalah, make sure you have the hachana beforehand. Now here's the punchline, my friends, and then we'll move on with Hakel. Do you know why hachana is so important? It goes back to the Rabbeinu Bahaya of the destruction of every 7 years and the rebuilding. Because our lives isn't just about the here and now. Our lives is simultaneously a micro and macro world. The Hakel, the seventh year, is simultaneously the seventh millennium. Everything works on a micro and macro level. 16. The reality is the whole essence of this world is hachana, is preparation. Hachana lolam haba. We know it's preparation for the next world. Why is preparation so important before you're doing a mitzvah? Because the entirety of my being down here is about preparation. I'm preparing myself for the Olam HaEmes, the next world. So if I don't work on preparation here, I'm living a life that's missing the key of what life is about. We know Chazal tell us HaOlam HaZeh Domeh. This world is just a corridor to the next world. Prepare yourself in this world so you can enter in to the palace. All the Torah that we learn, all the mitzvahs that we do, all the tefillos that we daven, our whole lives, and that's what you have to understand, that our lives are about hachana. Now I can appreciate, my friend, if I understand that the whole experience of Mamet Har Sinai, the godless of Mamet Har Sinai, Ilu Kervanu, the Har Sinai Velo Natan Lanu the Torah, was the core that Kla Yisrael entered into Har Sinai, was Hachana, was preparation. Now I can appreciate B'moed Shnata Shmita, why we call it the end of Shmata Shmita. The whole year of Shmita is Hachana for Hakel. And Hakel, to a very great extent, and this is what the Sfarim say, is a mini Mamet Har Sinai. So the year of Shemitah, in a real sense, parallels the Hachana of Klal Yisrael and Mamet Har Sinai. Be'ed Matan Torah, B'Sinai Italu Yisrael B'Rucham L'Dargani Seid. And in fact, the same Pasuk is linked by Mamet Har Sinai as we have by Shemitah. Of Giburei Koach, Osei Dvaro Lishmo B'Kol Dvaro, where the angels compliment this people of being a nation. That's such a strong nation. Both when we said Nasa V'Nishma, as well as keeping Shemitah. To be able to live at this pitch is living at the pitch of Mamet Har Sinai. As Rav Huttner says in Source 20, Katav Levaer et Mitzvahs Hakel Bekach Shi Misamela Me'ein Kabbalah's Torah Mechudeshet. It's as if we're receiving the Torah anew. That's why everyone had to be there, men, women, and children. It was in order to be able, as Rav Hofstadter says in 19, in preparation for receiving the Torah Mount Sinai at that gathering as well, the purpose was that I will make them hear my words so they will learn to fear me forever. The mitzvah of Hakel helps the nation to relive, on some level, that awesome account at Har Sinai with much the same effect. Both had preparation, and both had one goal. The goal of Mamet Har Sinai was that we should fear Hashem all the days of our lives, and as the psukim underscore here, the point of Hakel was in order for us to fear Hashem. Both Hakel, Mamet Har Sinai. Mamet Har Sinai is really relived with Hakel. Why at the end and not at the beginning? Answer number one, you need to have preparation to have such an event happen. How do we want to be successful in our own lives with our own mini Har Sinai, our own spiritual experiences? We need to keep this ingredient in mind. In front of whom are we standing and what are we doing or about to do? The second yesod, the second fundamental principle that I think that we learn, why it's called in Motzei at the end of the Chag HaShemitah, is found in Rav Dunner's Sefer Amikdash HaLevi. And this too is a fundamental idea for our lives. L'chorah 21 Yesh La'avin, we need to understand Shemitzvat Hakel Noheged B'Motzei Shnat HaShemitah. V'ayinu Shana Rishona L'minyan Cheshbon Sheni HaShemitah Ba'ah. Im Kei Madua Miyacheset HaTorah. Et HaMitzvah Zol Shnat HaShemitah. If it's already now in the next cycle, then why am I still connecting it to the Mitzvah Shemitah? We need to understand this. And he says the following. The whole idea of Mitzvah Shemitah, as we know, was in order to take away a year, Bechdei Lavsher, second paragraph 21, Lo Ovid HaDama Shana Shalimut Torah Mabli Kol Tirdos Parnasa Shehein. It was a year of dedicating themselves to Kolo, to really learning full-time with not having to deal with the ground at all. Ulaficha Cheinikolo Atarak Doshad Shnata Mishmita Bechdei Lashlim Et HaChasarim HaLalu V'lemale Et Atzmo B'tochen Ruchani. It was mamish entering into the spiritual bubble of feeling connected to Hashem. 22. When you're living in such a pitch, such a year, you can't walk away from a year like this, right? Shemitah ended Rosh Hashanah. You can't walk away from a year like this and suddenly enter into daily work. Stop, all of us, young and old, men, women, children, to be able to have an experience of closeness to Hashem. Here's the key. By stopping for this moment, we're as if showing Hashem. You know, Hashem, I'm not running anywhere. I loved being with you. It's hard for me to leave. And that's why it's on Sukkot. It's right after the new cycle starts. I would love to learn, but you know what? There's a klolah, but say it's a pecha, tocha lecha. I have to struggle for my livelihood. V'kan chashuv l'agish, kin l'ofen shebo anu ozvim et beit hamidrash, v'chuzrim latid hayom yom, yishna mashmur machrat. How you leave is indicative of how you felt. And the classic Gemara that is brought, and it's not, again, by accident, this Gemara happens to be connected to the Sukkah. The Gemara talks about the beginning of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, where the nations will come to Hashem and say, you know, Hashem, it's really not fair. Had you given us mitzvahs, we also would have done them. Gave them to the Jews, you reward them. Well, what about us? Hashem says, you know what, I have an easy mitzvah. Let me give it to you and see how you do. Build a sukkah. No problem. They go out to the rooftops, they build a sukkah. And Hashem makes it a little bit more challenging for them. And he puts out a hot sun. So the Gemara describes, so what do? They walk out of the sukkah, and they kick the sukkah when they walk out. So the Gemara asks, well, you know what, I have a little secret to tell you. And that is, Anus Rachmei Patrei, if it was a boiling hot sun, there's a chamsin, there's a heat wave, we too would be allowed to leave the sukkah if you don't have modern air conditioning or whatever fans in your sukkah. So I can't blame them for leaving the sukkah. Why are they, like, you know, so discredited? You see, you had one mitzvah, you couldn't handle it. It wasn't a question that they left the sukkah. We would be allowed to do the same thing. The key is how they left the sukkah. When they left the sukkah, they disparaged it. They kicked at it, like, who needs this? When we leave the sukkah, we feel like we've been thrown out of Hashem's presence, and we walk out with humility, and we walk out with anguish. How we leave an experience reflects what we thought of the experience. Hare lanu ki yishno havdel ma'uti at the end of 22. Bemisho zevet sukkato uboche lebemisho zevet sukkato mevaitba. There's a big difference by crying and leaving the sukkah and kicking at it. Klomar gam la'ofen shebo adam mitjacheis al meniyot hamono mimenu l'kayem mitzvah ma'mitzvot. When we're not able to do a mitzvah, how do we respond? Are we, oh my gosh, is that great? We can't do this mitzvah. Oh my, I can't believe I can't do this. I wanted to do this mitzvah, but I am unable. When I show this disappointment, I show that I'm really connected to what I am doing. There is a that sense. And this is why, my friends, there's a mitzvah called lina. When a person brought a korban, they weren't allowed to leave that day Yerushalayim. They had to sleep over that night and then leave Yerushalayim the next day. And the reason is the following. Middle of 23, the Tamos Shel Davar. Bichdei lo haro ki'ilu ayu adrim tlim b'makriv ha-korban hu haya ma'atif li'sher b'shalayim od va'ol. V'li spoket el kirbo malei chofnaim avirat ha-kdusha v'rumut ha-sharaba. Ilu haya ha-davar b'efshurato haya notar b'yushalayim la'netzah b'trak lino shel melech v'yoshe ba'alator v'avota. Why do we tell the person you have to wait a day? Because it's an expression of, it's hard for me to leave. I feel so connected to the base of Mikdash. I feel so connected to Yerushalayim. And it's hard for me to leave. Same thing goes halacha l'maisa. You're not allowed to run out of shul. Because running out of shul means aval kishyetzeh mibeit haknesset atzur larutz. Because when you're running out of shul, it's as if you're expressing, oh, thank God I'm out of there. Oh, my. Like, I can't wait to get out. And I remember many years ago, I brought my daughter to get a bracha from Rebbetzin Kanievsky, Allah Shalom, by her Nate's minion on the day of her bat mitzvah. And I remember we went over to her to get a bracha, and she said, come with me to my house and I'll give you a sefer. And so I remember that we followed her out of shul, you know, a zillion people trying to get to her. And what struck me was that when she was standing by the door, she read this really long tefillah. Like, I had never seen this in my life. Like, I'm wondering, like, you know, where did this come from? And just went on and on and on. And then later I've seen that it's found in Siddurim, and then I've been Baruch Hashem blessed with children who've also said this tefillah, and I don't even wait for them leaving shul. I'm just out of there. I mean, I don't run out of there. Don't get me wrong. I don't quite say all that they say yet. It's an expression. I've just had a spiritual experience. I want to be able to stay with that spiritual experience. I want the spiritual experience to make a roshem on me, an impression on me. So to a certain extent, we have almost two sides of the coin. On the one hand, Shemitah is a hachana, it's a preparation for the mitzvah hakel. On the other hand, the Shemitah is the roshem, is the impression that I've gone through this experience and now I want to still stay connected with this experience. I don't want to leave. And the mitzvah of Hakel connects me and enables me to make a statement to Hashem. You know, Hashem, I'm still very much connected to this experience. I'm not running home. I love you and it's hard for me to leave you. And that expression makes a tremendous impression on a person. That experience tells a person that when it comes to the ideas of Kedusha, you don't want to run away. You want to hold on to it as much as possible. Indeed, just to add one more nekuta where we see this, the Abraham now speaks about, when the Pasuk says, Vayisa Yaakov Raglav, that Yaakov lifted his legs and he went to Arz B'nei Kedem. So what's this idea of Vayisa Yaakov Yaglav? He lifted up his legs, such a bizarre expression. And the Rabbi now Mamish brings us Yisod. Yaakov Vinu just had a vision of the angels going up and down. He didn't want to leave it. It was painful for him. And therefore he had to like live foot by foot in order to leave. How do we leave the Kotel, my friend? How do we leave shul? How do we leave religious experiences? How do we leave? And this is like really a mindset for us to think about. Do we run out of these experiences, thank God it's over? Or do we say, you know what, I still want to be connected. I still want to feel that feeling. I want to make it as part of me as I'm able to. That, my friends, is idea number one of why the mitzvah of Hakel is connected to Shemitah. It's a hachana. And it's our ability to almost have that umbilical cord that connects me and nourishes me with that experience. Now, let's go back to the children. What are these kids doing there? You know, some of the Sfarim speak about, can you imagine the racket that must have been there? Have you ever been to shul by Tekiah Shofar? And they bring the babies, and they bring the little children, and the bamba, and the lollipop. You know, it's a symphony of noise, my friend. Can you imagine all of Klal Yisrael with their babies and their children? Like, whoa! Like, what are we thinking? So let's take a look. The Gemara that's most often quoted by the Sforim on this whole Inyan is the story of Rabbi Yeshua, who once asked what happened at the Beis Medrash. And they said, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah took note of the Torah's commandment for all Jews, Torah 24, Rabbi Friend on the Parsha, for all Jews, men, women, and children, to gather in Yerushalayim for Hakel. Rabbi Eliezer asked, the men came to Hakel to study Torah, and the women came to listen to the Torah being read, but why did the children come to Hakel? And why schlepped them along? And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, to provide eternal reward, which is Rashi quotes, to those who brought them. And Nachlos Yaakov, Rav Yaakov of Lisa, explains that Hashem knew that if we would have the choice to bring our children to Hakel, full adults and clients who required travel to Shalim, who would babysit the children? Obviously, there was a deeper reason. But Rabbi Yeshua's reaction to this teaching seems a bit exaggerated. "You had this beautiful gem," exclaimed Rabbi Yeshua, "and you try to hide it from me?" What was so special about this teaching Rabbi Yeshua got really excited about? So Semes, Rabbi Rucham both point out that Hashem does not reward us for simply expending the extra effort to bring our children. If Hashem were trying to make the trip more difficult, would we get greater reward? He could have required us to carry a 50-pound sack of potatoes up to the Hakel ceremony. You'll think about that, my friends. You know, like with a potato sack? Okay, just think about that imagery. Therefore, the Sfasemus Rabbi Yeruchan explained, even very young children, here's the key, who cannot understand the words spoken to them, can still absorb the message of Hakel. They may not come away with any concrete lesson from the Torah reading in Hakel, but they'll certainly absorb some holiness, and years later, when they begin studying Torah, it won't be totally foreign to them. This is why Rabbi Yeshua was so excited. The Talmud Yerushalmi relates that when Rabbi Yeshua was a baby, his mother used to bring his crib into the Beis Medrash so he would absorb the sounds of Torah being studied. He was excited because he found a biblical source for his mother's efforts. And this is what we need to understand, my friends. When we're talking about the chinuch of our children, when does chinuch begin? It begins the moment they are born. And la'achein l'titchal yom, quoting again, Rabbi Yerucham and Chochma Musar, otam tinokim einam yecholim lomod, aval roshem kol shehu yitcharet b'libotehem, v'zeh yehaveh hachana l'shanim sheyavou. Rabbosai, do you know what the idea of children coming is? It's a hachana, it's a preparation for their entire lives. Shekol davar mashir roshem aleihem, everything makes an impression on them. L'tov v'chalila l'mutav, aleim mashrish b'tocham shekol pu'la sholsim al kol tzad v'shal mashpia. Everything we do with a child has the ability to affect them. That's why the Sfarim say that any mitzvah that you do, you should do in front of the baby. Obviously, you don't wake up a baby and say, "I'm about to light candles, let me wake up the baby to light candles." No. But if the baby is awake, instead of just playing on the floor, pick them up and allow them to see the bracha. This is all creating the mindset. Subconsciously, the child doesn't even realize it. But he's growing up in an avira, in an environment of Torah. And he notes, Rav Zaitchik in Or Chadash, if you give them a test on this, trust me, they'll fail. It is rather absorbed in their head and in their heart. It's found within them. It's just going to be revealed later on. You know, my friends, there have been studies, you probably know better than I do, of people who've had surgery, right, and their memory is, you know, reactivated, and you see this with elderly people as well. They'll start singing songs from their childhood, from like 2-3 years old. It's never gone. It's just in the deepest consciousness. If we can wire our children's brains with the fact that all of Klal Yisrael come together, And this is what the Emek HaParsha 32 notes. The little kids may say, "Abba, Ima, what's going on here?" Like a 3-year-old. We're here to listen to the Melech, the King, teach the Torah. And he has to be very quiet. And they feel the awe. And it makes an impression on them. It builds in them religious experiences that will be with them for a lifetime. You know, I can just relate personally. I have very little conscious memory of my childhood. But a memory that I do have is a memory of being around 4 or 5 years old, which for me is a very early memory, of Achnasat Sefer Torah. Obviously, it made such an impression on me that now, almost, you know, 50 years later, I can describe to you what the event was about. So a parent may say, "Well, why bother taking a little kid to Achnasat Sefer Torah? They have no idea what it's about." Wrong. Every religious experience, and the more dynamic and the more lively it is, obviously it makes a deeper impression, makes an imprint on everybody's life. as Chazal note, the end of 29, Shekol Tenua Tenua Vashba'a Nichretet Umunutzacha Le'olam Ve'ino Halechet Libud Chut Aruch Nimshach Mikol Pula Mikol Machshava Vihirhur. And that is why practically the Emek HaParsha notes in Source 30 that a person should live, a parent should be in a house where the kids hear Kol Torah. That you should mamish be able to learn out loud. Rav Shor brings a story of a Rebbe who a father brought a number of his children to get a bracha from the Rebbe. And the Rebbe said to the father, this child and that child you learned yet at home, and for these younger children you must have learned in the Beis Medrash. And he looked at the rabbi like, you know, do you have Ruach HaKodesh? Do you have, like, you know, a camera in my house? He says it's written on the children's faces. You can see in them that they absorbed Kol Torah. Now, you and I may not see this, but this is what we have to understand, that children should be listening to. And there are so many stories that are told of this, that children who have, will come back to Yiddishkeit just from the sound of learning their parents had makes an impression on them. Likewise, Rav Yaakov Edelstein brings down in the name of the stipler that a parent should wash negavasser with a child from age zero. I don't know if there's such a thing as age zero, but moment go. That negavasser, that you start the child preparing for Kedusha and Tara, for this level of purity. And it sounds strange, like doing negavasser on a little baby, like, you know, they're so tiny, their hands are so tiny. We are training them from moment go. It becomes absorbed into who and what they are. This is the core of what this is about. What mita are we focusing in on that we want the children to be able to be very strong in? The key in the Chumash is Yirat Shamayim. What we want the children to have is the sense of Hashem's presence in our home and in our lives. And we know, the Chumash tells us in Siva Shalom 34, V'ata Yisrael ma Hashem Elokecha sholomimcha kim lirat Hashem Elokecha. What does Hashem want from us? He wants Yiras Hashem. And the Ramah brings down at the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, and we know this to be true, in the Arab, Kishiyosim Adam Elibo Shamelech HaGadok Rosh Baruch Hu Shemale Kol Haaretz Kvoto Omeid Alav Ro'eh Masav Miyad Yaki Alav Hayira. When we have this conscious thought that Hashem fills the whole world and you can't hide from Him, then Yira, awe, enters into us. And this is what we have to understand. And this is when a person is able to be wired with this Yiras Hashem, as we know in 35, Reishis Chochma, Yiras Hashem, the beginning of understanding, the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of teaching any child Torah has to be Yiras Hashem. Ki beloshi atchil mimidas hayira, koach hara nimsabo, v'chol zman sharabi kerbo eno yachol lagia leklum. U'mishum ka pekuda kadama da Yiras Hashem. If you don't start with Yiras Hashem, then you're always going to be blocked because the Yitzhar is going to stop you from doing this or that. If you're able to have that strength of spirit to know, despite whatever is in my way, despite whatever obstacles come, this is what Hashem wants, and I need to have the fortitude to carry on. This Yiras Hashem is the most crucial ingredient to enable a child to be successful in their Avodas Hashem. And he notes, he continues in 35, the Koach of Taiva, the desire for physical things and to do whatever, you know, pleases us is so strong. How can we ever overcome this? While you're in your child, Yiras Hashem. Not in a sense of fear, oh my gosh, a lightning bolt's going to come down from heaven, you better be careful, don't speak Lashon Hara, no. But a sense of awe, in a sense of realization that Hashem's presence is here. And that's what Rav Wolbe speaks about, that a parent should be very careful to say brachos out loud, because the child will then be able to look around and say to themselves, gee, who's mommy talking to? I'm the only one here. She doesn't seem to be talking to me. And over time, he understands, or she understands, that there must be another being here. And that being is none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you feel Hashem's presence, and obviously, and the Sfarim say this, if you think that you can bring a kid to Hakel and do whatever you want at home, you've missed the boat. Hakel is just a preparation so that all your chinuch at home is going to be successful. Here's our final idea. My friends, it's not only for the children that we bring them for Hakel. That's definitely a hachana for life. But Hakel is also about us connecting to the mitzvah. It's about us walking away with a roshem, with an impression from the mitzvah. My friends, why do we bring the kids? To give us a reward. What does this mean? Here's the key. Minchas Micha, quoting the Ben Ishchai, who says the following. 39. Shevi b'no mistama lo haya makom panui livno. Vayat tzavich lo shivo b'cheko v'atzifut mistama ita gdola. Nimsa shemagi lehem schar gadol yoter lufum sara agra. Do you know what the reward comes from? It comes from the experience of Hakel. The experience of Hakel is not just for the children. It's for the parents to show mesiras nefesh for what they're about to do in terms of raising the children. Zoa schar muftach lohorim amivim et yaldeim arakim lahakel. And that's what's so important for both the child as well as the parent to realize, I am ready to go out of my way. I'm ready to hold this kid for 3 hours, and it's a pain in the neck, and try to quiet them down. I wish I could just leave them at home. Why? I have to be Moser Nefesh, because when I am Moser Nefesh at Hakel, I am showing what's really important in my life. And I'm ready to suffer, and I'm ready to be challenged, and I'm ready to show difficult, because I want to show myself and my child that this is the most important thing in my life. And this is what Rav Lugassi speaks about, the Ordanio quote. When we have, or my friend also brings this Vortan, when we have a Pidyon HaBen, the Kohen asks the father, what is more important to you? Ma bayis tvei. What do you want more? Money or the child? So we almost laugh, like, duh. We all want the child. It's not so funny. What the Kohen is asking is, what is going to be your value in life? What's going to be more important for you? Your career, your pursuit of money, your pursuit of luxury? Or is your child and your child's education going to be more important to you? What does the mitzvah of Hakel do? The mitzvah of Hakel takes the year of Shemitah, the year where I was Moser Nefesh not to work, and allows that Mesiras Nefesh to enter into my chinuch, to my children. That now that I'm about to re-enter the work world, I can't forget that I have to be Moser Nefesh to teach my children the ways of Hashem at all times. And particularly now when things are more difficult. During the Shemitah year, it's easy to learn my children. Avos Subani was a no-brainer. But now to make time for my children, now to be able to show them the priority, when I'm busy at work and I have long work hours, then to say, I'm going to cut it short to be with my child, to learn with my child, to show them the chashivas of Torah, that's the roshem, that's the impression we want the parent to take away from this experience, that Mesiras Nefesh is the key of what Chinuch HaBanim is all about. And that's the second message of what this is about. Message one, the child has Hachana for life. And it's Hachana for Yira. We call these days, and Siva Shalom knows in 38, Yamim Noraim, there are days of awe. Because that's the key of what this time is about. This is the key element we want to instill within ourselves, is Yiras Hashem. But the reason why we bring our children is not just for them. It's for us and them. It's for us to understand so clearly what we're prepared to do to be able to keep the Shemitah experience of our priorities in check in relationship to our children. That's where we get the reward, where we haven't forgotten what our priorities are in life. And Rabosai, we know that all the studies say this, that what is the greatest gift you can give to any child is time. When the children see that we are Moser Nefesh to teach them Torah, that we're Moser Nefesh to do mitzvahs, and it comes with a challenge, but we do it with simcha, we are taking the message of Hakel. Yes, it's a schluff to bring those kids, and yes, it's hard, but I'll do anything for my child to have a religious experience. Yes, tuition is a lot of money, but I'll do anything for my child to have a religious experience. That has an implication on us, an impression on us, and an impression on our children as well as what our priorities are. And that message is the message of what Hakel is about, and that's where we get the schar, the reward for Hakel. And that's our challenge, my friends. Perhaps we don't have a year of Shemitah, but we have spiritual highs in our lives. We have times like Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot where we're feeling more connected to Hashem. The challenge we have as parents, the challenge we have as individuals, is how do we keep ourselves connected to those experiences? How do we keep ourselves plugged into those experiences? And recognize that oftentimes it's going to be with Mesiras Nefesh. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. We're going to have to squeeze it in. But when we make that a priority in our lives, we're showing that connection. We're showing that roshim, that impression has never left us. And this is indeed what is the most important and memorable part of what our existence is all about.